160 and 161. Please read them together.
160, amend city code related to the administration of the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Initiative and other housekeeping amendments. And 161, create the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Fund.
Colleagues, as you know, the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Initiative is the result ballot measure 26201, which was passed by the Portland voters at the November 6th general election with a 65% yes vote. Together, these two ordinances codify the ballot measure into the city's codes. City staff and members of the community coalition that created and led the ballot measure have been working together since late last year after the passage of the measure to figure out what needs to be done to successfully implement the program. These ordinances are some of the first steps, but the process will continue over the next year. We'll hear more about that work during the staff presentation and invited testimony. I'd now like to turn this over to my colleague, Commissioner Hardesty, to give opening remarks before staff will present the two ordinances. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, and thank you. It's wonderful to see this chamber filled with many of the people that helped get us to the day that we are at. I am so proud of the work that was done to create the Portland Clean Energy Fund Initiative, and I want to take us, before I turn it over to staff, just down a little memory lane kind of thing. I remember having this crazy conversation with this lawyer guy named Brett Foster, who said, I think we could work together and figure out how to develop an initiative that would actually do three things. It would address climate change, it would address economic opportunity for those who've been left out of our economic workforce, and three, it would address the racial disparate outcomes that communities of color continue to experience in Portland, Oregon. And I was just like crazy enough to say, okay, let's sit down and try to figure out how we could make that happen. And we did. But what we did was something that I've never seen happen before in Portland and certainly not in Oregon. And quite frankly, I don't think I've seen it anywhere else. What we did was create a coalition that included, that started with the NAACP Portland branch, Sierra Club, 350 PDX, Verde, the Oregon chapter of Sierra Club, I said that, Coalition of Communities of Color, Native America Youth and Family Center, the Asian Pacific Network of Oregon, and Organic Consumer Association. That group spent almost 2 years refining a ballot measure that would go to the voters that we would have to make the case to publicly as to why this is so. Why was this important? Well, because Oregon, actually the city of Portland, the city council, passed a resolution that said by 2050, we would be energy independent as a city. And I was really excited about that. Yay, we're going to make this happen. But then it was like, okay, how do we get there? And who are we going to be energy independent from? And who's going to benefit from that? So the more research we did, the more we found that everybody in the city of Portland pays into a fund called a public purpose fund on your utility bill, if you're fortunate enough to have a house. But what you may not know is that only people who have a nice house in good standing have the opportunity to actually get those energy efficiency improvements for their home. We did a lot of research. We ended up going to Salem. We wrote reports. And what we found out was is that everybody pays into it, but only people who are upper middle class had the opportunity to benefit from that. And so this measure was about creating an equitable opportunity for low-income people and people of color to be able to get energy efficiency improvements, to get workforce training, because as we started hearing about this new climate industry, what we saw were white men at the forefront. And when we would say, well, where are the people of color? Where are the women? What, you know, what's happening with this new industry? And we were told, we'll get to that, right? And we've been so successful at getting to that so far that community groups decided that we would take the reins of this activity and we would develop the measure. We would make the case for why the city should either adopt it, send it to voters, or we would go out and collect signatures. I am so proud of my coalition partners because within 5 weeks, they collected 35,000 signatures, and it made the Portland ballot. This is the first time in a history that people of color developed a ballot initiative, led the organizing effort, and three, ran the campaign to make it happen. So this initiative, what does it do? I think most of the people in this room probably know, but for the listeners, I will say it increases the business income tax by 1% for retail operations with $1 billion, and that's with a B, billion dollars in national sales, and $500,000 sales in the city of Portland. And it gives us the opportunity as a city to do some really innovative developments, including addressing issues of workforce development, weatherization, energy efficiency improvements, prioritizing people of color and low-income communities. I love that this passed by a vote of 66% of the voters who participated in last year's election, because I think what that says is that we're ready to move beyond our racist history, and we're ready to move in lockstep with communities of color, with them in a leadership position, actually leading the way in how we as a community live up to our potential. And so I will have more to say when we get to the end of this, but I will leave it there. And I want to appreciate the staff because I had the opportunity to meet with Michelle and Thomas yesterday to get some of my additional questions answered. And Thomas Landham, who's our Revenue Division Director, I just wanted to thank you very much. I've never seen a city process that tracked public comments so well. And you did an excellent job of actually letting us know who participated, what their comments were, and which ones you accepted and didn't. And I promise I put it on the record. I'm putting it on the record. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And so without further ado, I will turn it over to our esteemed panel and have them take it away. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. My name's Michelle Krim. I'm the Chief Sustainability Officer for the city. And today what we're going to do is present to you two ordinances that help to get some of the early pieces of work needed in place in order for us to create this fund. Portland is known nationally and internationally for our accomplishments in tackling climate change. We were the first city in the United States to create a climate action plan 25 years ago in 1993. We have adopted some of the most aggressive climate goals in the world, including reducing carbon emissions 80% and having 100% renewable energy by 2050. And we've made some real progress in reaching those goals. We've reduced community-wide emissions 19%, and today Portlanders produce 42% fewer emissions per person than they did in 1990. But those carbon emissions are getting harder and harder to come by, and the runaway trajectory of global carbon emissions mean that we face a future a more likely future that we will be facing big impacts such as heat waves and flooding and wildfires. And not only will those impacts disproportionately affect communities on the front lines of climate change, including Portland's communities of color and low-income populations, but those same communities also have not benefited equitably from the past climate actions that the city has taken, and they also have not been always at the table to help us shape climate-related programs and policies. We know that reaching our aggressive climate goals and to address the challenges of creating a healthy, resilient, prosperous community for all requires that our climate work evolve. And the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Fund provides an outstanding model for how to do that. Where equity and racial justice is the beating heart of our climate work, it's not an add-on or nice-to-have that we have around the margins. Centering our work around a climate justice frame shouldn't be done because it's the right thing to do. In fact, it must be done because it offers the transformational solutions that we need to achieve our aggressive climate goals and to deliver on the city's economic, social, and environmental priorities. This fund promises to deliver all of that in spades. As you know, and as Commissioner Hardesty just shared, the measure was passed by a margin of 65%, making it Oregon's first ever environmental initiative created and led by communities of color. And it's also the first clean energy financing program in a city of its kind in the country. I want to take a moment to both acknowledge and to celebrate the community vision and leadership that led us to being here today to make this program a reality. From conceiving of the idea, building a diverse and powerful coalition, crafting the legislation, gathering the signatures, and building a groundswell of support, these community leaders and advocates, many of whom are in the room here today, have created a new paradigm for how we can go from incremental to transformational in our climate work. BPS is honored to play a role in stewarding and shepherding the design and development of the fund, and we're committed to creating a granting program that delivers on the community-led vision, both in the outcome and in the process to get there. So with that, Commissioner Hardesty shared a little bit about how the program works. And so again, it's a program that's funded with a 1% surcharge on retail sales of certain large retailers in Portland. And the revenue staff here will describe that in detail in a moment. And it's currently estimated to generate between $54 and $71 million a year. Commissioner Hardesty reviewed the priorities of the fund related to clean energy projects, clean job training, as well as programs that both reduce carbon emissions and promote economic, social, and environmental benefits. Half of the fund's projects must benefit communities or Portland's underserved populations and neighborhoods, specifically communities of color and low-income populations. The fund is overseen by a 9-member oversight and advisory committee that make recommendations, funding recommendations for city council's consideration and adoption. In addition to annual financial audits and every other year performance audits, this oversight committee is responsible for evaluating the effectiveness of the fund in achieving the goals of the initiative. So in the coming months, each of you will appoint one member of this committee, and then the initial 5 committee members that you seat will make recommendations to you for the next 4 members for your approval. So we're currently working with the community coalition that led the ballot initiative to outline the details of that recruitment and the expectations of that advisory and oversight committee members in terms of time commitment, meeting schedule, conflicts of interest, stipends, et cetera. And we'll be working with the Office of Community and Civic Life, as well as your staff, as we gear up to begin that recruitment and selection process. Lastly, I just want to talk a little bit about staffing. Staff from across the city have been working hard to identify the steps that need to be taken to get the fund off the ground. In addition to BPS and your chiefs of staff, the Revenue Division, the City Attorney's Office, Human Resources, and the Budget Office have all played important roles in getting us to where we're at today. The ballot measure identifies the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability as having the primary responsibility for assisting the Community Advisory and Oversight Committee in initiating and beginning the implementation of the ballot measure. We expect the work will take approximately 18 months, with the goal of being ready to launch the fund and make grant awards in July of 2020, if not sooner. Once the program is up and running, the Community Oversight and granting committee may decide to either continue utilizing the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability in this fashion or decide to move the program and its staff to be housed elsewhere. BPS is taking our role in helping to create a successful program very seriously, and we're actively engaged with and following the continued leadership of the community coalition that created the ballot initiative. So the ordinance, one of the ordinances in front of you today, item 160, I believe, does 3 things. The first thing it does is it actually creates the fund by amending City Code 5.04 and adds the fund to the city's financial system. The second thing it does is it authorizes 4 new staff positions to design, oversee, and manage the program. We've worked with the Community Coalition to identify the priority bodies of work that need to get underway immediately, and these staff positions are focused on meeting those needs. One of the positions is a program manager. The second position is focused on coordinating the fund's oversight and advisory committee. The third position is focused on community outreach and capacity building so that local nonprofits are well positioned to submit successful proposals at the time that the fund launches. And the fourth position is focused on performance metrics, reporting, and communications. So provided that City Council authorizes the creation of these positions today through this ordinance, we're ready to begin recruiting the program manager position this coming Monday, February 25th. And the following three positions will follow soon thereafter. The third thing that this ordinance does is it directs the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to bring forth a budget request in the spring bump to equal what we believe the Bureau will spend in staffing materials and services by the end of this fiscal year, 18-19, and to request that amount from the general fund contingency. It also affirms that all reasonably necessary program expenses covered by BPS or the general fund are to be reimbursed by the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Fund when revenues are available in mid-2020. So with that, I would also say we just published a website related to the fund on BPS's website, and so there's more information there for people who are interested in learning more or want to get directly involved. And with that, I'll turn it over to Thomas.
Thank you very much. I'm Thomas Lanham.
Thomas, your mic's not on. Oh, okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Thomas Lanham. I'm the Revenue Division Director. Joining me is Tyler Wallace, who's here to answer any questions. Tyler is our Tax Division Manager. Commissioner Hardesty and Michelle, I think, covered this very well, so I'm not going to dive into any detail about the measure itself, just highlighting kind of what we're here to do. So again, to reiterate, item number 160 implements the measure. Item number 161 creates the funds and the positions within BPS. Just to be really clear about what the changes are from the measure, we are making some changes, and our philosophy was to cleave as closely as possible to the intent of the voters, working very closely with the committee and with the petitioners to make sure that we didn't violate the spirit of the measure. And so there was some clarity around definitions, clarity around filing requirements, in aligning the measure with standard practices in taxation, such as looking to the current year sales measures rather than the prior year, in aligning to current definitions rather than creating new definitions whenever possible. So with respect to our next steps implementing this, so following council action today, we will begin an administrative rulemaking process where we will publicly post some proposed administrative rules that largely will get into a little more detail about some of the definitions, providing some examples for taxpayers so they understand what we believe would be included and not included in terms of the tax. That process will begin again very shortly, probably in March. We will publish a date in the Daily Journal of Commerce for a public hearing in the revenue offices for anyone that wants to provide feedback. And then following that feedback, we will either amend the administrative rules or adopt them. And so with that, I'll wrap up, unless there are questions. I guess I would also
before you disappear, there are three technical amendments.
Yes, sir, that's right. Thank you.
Can you walk us through those, please?
I put that in bold caps and still read past it for some
reason. No worries.
Reason.
I had it sitting right in front of me. I wasn't going to
let you
go.
So do you all have a copy of Exhibit C? So there are three technical amendments to the ordinance. The first is in council finding number 11, just updating the fiscal year from 2020-2021 to 2019-2020 in terms of when the senior revenue auditor positions would need to be added to revenue. Amendment number two is an amendment that is completely unrelated to the measure, but it was an action that we felt made a lot of sense in terms of getting our code up to date around intentional database hacking. So it simply increases the penalties for that if anyone were to intentionally hack into the business license information system. And then the third amendment corrects two legacy code references that were not gender neutral, and I want to thank Michelle Krim and her staff for pointing those out to us. I'm happy to read those into the record, but I think the written record suffices for Exhibit C. And then, now my final comments would be, first, I'd like to thank the Clean Energy Committee and the Coalition. They have been absolutely wonderful to work with. I also want to thank the business community and Portland Business Alliance. We had some very frank and, I think, fruitful discussions about some changes they felt should be made. And then lastly, Revenue Division staff, if you could stand up in the back there and take a bow or otherwise. Thank you very much for all the help that that you've given in terms of getting this thing stood up.
Mayor?
Commissioner Fish.
Do you want us to move the package of amendments?
Yes.
So I move the amendments as a package.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish. We have a second from Commissioner Hardesty. Any further discussion on the amendments? Call the roll on the amendments.
Fish?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendments are on the table. Thank you.
Thank you
for your testimony. We appreciate it. All right. We have an invited testimony panel as well. Reverend Edie Mondanay is here today. Jenny Lee from the Coalition of Communities of Color. And I forgot to mention that Reverend Mondanay is the president of the NAACP Portland branch and the chief petitioner of Measure 26201, the Portland Clean Energy Initiative. Jenny Lee is the advocacy director of the Coalition of Communities of Color, and I hope I'm pronouncing this gentleman's name correctly, Ranfi Villatoro? Close? Thumbs up? Good. Excellent. Oregon State Policy Director, Blue-Green Alliance, and Nate McCoy, the Executive Director of the National Association of Minority Contractors of Oregon. Come on up. Thank you for being here.
Reverend, you know that this is your second time in testifying within 24 hours.
Yes.
If you can fit in a third time, you know we're legally obligated to provide you with office space.
Well. Well, today is my birthday, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Happy birthday. That's great.
Hey, Nate, let's bring another chair up.
Just grab that chair.
Reverend, I didn't recognize you in your street clothes.
I'm sorry?
I didn't recognize you in your street clothes.
Well, you know, I sometimes wear jeans.
Me too.
No.
Would you like to go ahead and start us off since it's your birthday?
Yes, I'm
Edie
Mondanay. I'm president of the NAACP, and I'm my grandchildren's grandfather, most importantly. Good afternoon. I want to take this time to express my gratitude to the mayor and our city's board of commissioners for your role in making Portland history by lending your support to the communities that led the victory in passing ballot measure 26201. The Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Initiative. I am especially grateful for the foresight of Commissioner Hardesty to be one of the first to bring to light this initiative and invite other partners of the communities of color to come on board. My heart breathes a sigh of hope as I have witnessed the power in the call of collected voices of our citizens. Combined with the feverishly hard work of Portland's communities of color, we took the lead in advancing an environmental initiative to victory. Together, we were able to bring an initiative, bring innovative reasoning to battle the necessary war on environmental injustice and economic inequality. We have taken giant steps in the fight of justice by moving forward a vision for a clean energy future. We look forward to workers with living wage jobs suitable housing that is energy efficient, and renewable energy that matches the renewed hope that advancement in sustainability yields. The people of Portland said yes to this vision. It suffered intense skepticism from the press, but 65% of this city voted for large retailers to pay their fair share to build climate resilience for frontline communities. Our naysayers will be eager to publicize even minor missteps. They will expect the city to faithfully implement the initiative they approved. Mr. Mayor and commissioners, we have an expectation as well. We expect you to defend this initiative from those who would seek to weaken it, ensuring that communities of color and low-income folks are prioritized so that they receive needed mitigation and resilience to climate change. The people of Portland spoke loud and very clearly on election night. And our hope is that you will echo their voices. It is imperative to note that this initiative has captured the attention of the nation. Progressive cities, advocates for justice, and those and those who know that it is right now time to address the climate crisis. They are looking and waiting to see to Portland successfully implementing this initiative. In my closing, I caution you to exercise patience. This is a brand new initiative, and we are building skills for contractors, workers, organizations, and more so that they can better utilize this fund. We look forward to continued collaboration to support a strong implementation to this historic measure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Udaly, Commissioner Hardesty, and Commissioner Fish. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify here today on this ordinance adopting the Portland Clean Energy Community Initiative Benefits Initiative into the city code. My name is Jenny Lee. I am the Advocacy Director at the Coalition of Communities of Color. And I'm here today on behalf of the Portland Clean Energy Fund Coalition's Implementation Committee. The amendments before you today will help improve the initiative's language with the city code, make it easier for the revenue division to collect the clean energy surcharge efficiently and effectively. We greatly appreciate the diligence of Revenue Division Director Lanham and his team. These technical amendments will improve and clarify the city code, and we are grateful for their strong engagement with us throughout this process. We look forward next to the administrative rulemaking process. With the passage of this initiative, the City of Portland's voters clearly recognize the urgent need for corporations to pay their fair share to address climate change and economic inequality, and we expect that this intent will be achieved. We also look forward to the next steps in hiring the program staff at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and establishing a diverse and representative grant committee who will develop the program framework in fidelity to the vision of this initiative. We are truly inspired by the potential that the Portland Clean Energy Fund has to transform our city. The implementation process so far has aligned well with our mission of community-centered leadership, and we expect this approach to continue throughout the development and ongoing operation of the fund. We would like to thank the mayor and each commissioner for your engagement in implementing this measure, as well as your dedicated staff, with special acknowledgement to Commissioner Hardesty, who has been there since the beginning. We also thank, again, the Revenue Division, Director Lanham and his team, as well as the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Michelle Krim, and her staff. They have been an outstanding partner in recognizing the importance of implementing this measure swiftly and with the due diligence needed to make sure that this program is off to a strong start. Since the election, I personally have been amazed at the number of people that we have been able to get in the same room so quickly across so many city offices and bureaus, and that truly is a testament to our shared commitment to making this program a success. We know that the eyes of the nation will be on us, and I think that we truly have put in that effort and commitment thus far. Again, thank you for your work and for the opportunity to testify today. We are genuinely excited to continue on this journey together to create a more just and equitable Portland for all of us who call this city our home. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Udaly, Commissioner Hardesty, Commissioner Fish. My name is Ranfis Genetino Viatoro, and I am the Oregon State Policy Coordinator with Blue Green Alliance, which is a coalition of labor environmental organizations working together to solve today's environmental challenges in a way that creates and maintains good quality jobs and a stronger, fairer economy. We're guided by the principle that we can no longer choose between good jobs and a clean economy environment. That the actions we take to create quality jobs and protect working people and the environment must go hand in hand. And that together we can build a clean, thriving, and fair economy. We believe that this initiative has the opportunity to do just that and be a beacon of hope, not just for the city, but the state and this country. I want to take this time to recognize the many PSEF leaders and volunteers who helped dream and push this initiative. Many of whom pushed this forward are descendants of a generation that were asked to wait, and not now, around issues of social justice, economic justice, and racial justice. Many of us still hear that today. And many of those leaders were able to stand, just like the generations before us, to answer the proverbial questions, if not now, when?
Yeah.
If not us, who? The time to act boldly and constructively is limited, and it is our belief at BGA that a just and inclusive future can and will be built by communities of color, environmental and labor organizations, and visionaries working together. It will require a diverse and skilled, trained workforce working on renewable and energy efficiency projects. It will require the creation of good-paying jobs and access to health care and pensions. It will require a system that rewards diverse, high-road developers and contractors and employers. It will require a robust public sector to administer and steward and enforce our laws and provisions. And most importantly, it will require us to continue to work with multiple stakeholders and impact communities to continue to strive a more just and inclusive future. Again, collectively, we need to work together to ensure no person, no community is left behind in our energy transition. As Reverend Dr. King once observed, all labor that uplifts humanity has dignity and importance and should be undertaken with painstaking excellence. This day is for the PSEF Coalition and the collective wisdom of Portland voters who continue to shoot for the moon for a more just and more inclusive clean energy future. We do this not because it is easy. We do this because it is a true measure of who we are as a city and what we strive to be. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm pleased to be here. Mayor, commissioners, thank you for having me today. For the record, my name is Nate McCoy, Executive Director of the Oregon Chapter of the National Association of Minority Contractors. I can vividly remember a year and a half ago, Joanne actually calling me at NAMAC and telling me a lot about this initiative. And I can tell you, as a 501c6 chapter, we don't tend to endorse campaigns, but her case was so compelling, and when I took it to our board and our members, it was almost a no-brainer for us to jump in and support this initiative. What I wanted to also say, just for the record, as a side note, is that you see us all in green today, minus me. I'm an Oregon Duck alumni, and I should be ashamed that I don't own a green shirt. So I am unified with my group today, but in spirit more than in clothing. So thank you for that. I have a couple key points that really set this initiative apart from all the conversation today. Four key points. For the first time ever in my history, in 37 years of being alive, I have never seen such an initiative which, one, was led solely by the community, two, was environmentally sound, which is all about the climate today and how much we need to do to be ready for the future, three, socially connected from a community, from an agency, and from those who really benefit from the work that we will create, and then four, selfishly for NAMAC. We care about pipeline of work. We cannot afford to wait for major projects that don't always include our members to create the pipeline of contracting capacity as well as diversity within the workforce. And I think this blends all four of those by far more than I've seen anywhere. Nick mentioned in the last segment that communities of color are by far leading capacity in the level of collaboration that this city nationally and locally is being recognized for. And that's great for us all to be a part of that. I've also heard the mayor say in the past that a good plan is only as good as the resources that follow it. 54 to 71 million a year, if we can't work with that, we are all in the wrong business. So I think that's a great initiative. I just have a couple key themes because this will become sticking points when we start to talk about funding. We are eagerly looking to be ambitious with goal setting around these dollars to ensure, not to say, but ensure that communities of color benefit. We are discussing 300 to 500 plus jobs yearly that would become green sector jobs that not only contractors who already do some of this work, but for those workers who actually can start to work on new avenues in the workforce. There is national presidents of the green sector movement all across the nation, and Portland is one of the leaders in it. So what a great opportunity to not be chasing our tails, but to be in front of something that we create the outcomes on. What I also want to discuss, because we talked about housing, as some of you as commissioners know, I'm on the Portland Housing Advisory Commission. What I really truly appreciate about this discussion is that when you think about affordable housing, we all know that the construction costs are skyrocketing. And I can remember as a construction manager, we had to make decisions based on, are we putting solar and weatherization in this project, and can we make it pencil? This fund has the opportunity to help subsidize some of these projects to ensure that the tenants and the owners can benefit from these savings and from the affordable housing that's being produced. We also talked in the last segment about homeless. This is the opportunity for some of those folks facing homelessness, facing the rising housing rents, to not only be able to live in their city, but to be able to have the income levels to sustain living wherever they choose. So, I mean, I'm already seeing the housing connection, the employment connection, and the community connection. And lastly, I would be in trouble with my grandma who has passed, who taught me this very long ago. She always told me if communities were able to control the narrative, they could control the outcomes to benefit who they live and break bread with in the community. And what that always taught me was, you know, be visible about what's going on. Communities of color who have always been underrepresented are usually the closest to the solution. So the fact that we put those folks in the solution-based process first instead of last you get something like the outcomes we have today. So with that said, I just want to applaud the commission, everybody behind me, everybody on this panel, and the work is just starting, and we are excited about this opportunity, so thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all four of you, for being here today. We appreciate it. Reverend, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Carla, how many people do we have signed up for public testimony?
We have 10 people.
Very good. Please call the first three.
Our Shedrick Wilkins, Jay Singh, and Maria Hernandez Segaviano, and they'll be followed by Anissa Pemberton, Anana McGuire, I believe is the last name, and Deneen O'Rourke.
I'm Shedrick. People of lower income tend to be, and young people tend to be resourceful. When I was getting my electrical engineering degree, I saw in North Portland people, I think one was the Scanner magazine, had solar cells across the building. The Alibi Bar and Grill had passive solar on the roof, right? People of lower income don't want to spend money, and they want to save money, and they're more likely to use alternative forms of energy. Before my father died in the 90s, he wasted money. He retired from Nabisco cookies and just let natural gas go out the window. And I'm sorry to say, it's probably because he's dying and he's getting old, and it's like, I don't care. You know, and he had the money, and it's almost like his pension plus Social Security. He was blowing Social Security right out the window. In heating costs, he wanted the house to be like Venus, you know. But anyway, on energy, I tend to side with Energy Northwest, living off the grid, natural gas, solar cells on your roof, passive solar, be off the grid. I'm sorry, PGE tends to push centralized power. They own the power lines, right? And so they want you to still be into the power grid. I'm not sure I like that. Sometimes I think when PGE talks about solar and wind farms, I'm not too sure. I mean, we get a lot of natural gas, and it comes from Canada. But the idea is to try to be to use less of the grid as possible. And cable television is a great way. Instead of driving somewhere, get a video phone or video conference or text somebody. And instead of physically having to move, which takes energy. All right, my thoughts. My dad was the worst offender, and maybe I'm talking here, but actually, like to say, low-income people are the best. They're the ones that hits them in the pocket, younger people. And they're the ones that are most likely to do things like solar cells on the roof, like in North Portland, or passive solar, and use natural gas as least as possible and make sure it doesn't go out the window.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Ted Wheeler, Commissioner John Howard, State Commissioner Fish, and Commissioner Yu Daly. My name is Maria Hernandez Segoviano. I am the Policy and Advocacy Manager at Opal Environmental Justice Oregon. We organize people and people of color to achieve a safer, healthier environment in the place we live, work, learn, practice spirituality, and play. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify. I urge the city to implement, maintain, and strengthen the Portland Clean Energy Fund today. This initiative has changed the story about who makes decisions in Portland. Our communities have advanced a clear mandate to act on climate change and invest in justice. This policy is one of the best examples of how local governments can address inequality while taking bold, I say bold, climate action. Global and national allies are rooting for us to do this right. As a part of the organizing committee of the International Frontline-Led Climate Justice Alliance, Opal traveled to Washington, D.C. to talk about this policy with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez when frontline communities lead and when mainstream allies follow, justice is the result. We are up against wealthy, powerful interests who wish to see us fail, to preserve their profits. They're willing to sacrifice the needs of our community and of the very ecosystems upon which our lives depend. We can't allow them to stop this particular momentum. You cannot let them weaken this policy. We urge you to not let them weaken this policy. The people who want to undermine this initiative didn't win 65% at the ballot. They lost handily. Their scarce tactics didn't work on voters, and they should not work on city councilors or yourselves today, or unelected bureaucrats who may seek to weaken this policy. For too long, decision makers have failed to act on the crises we face. That's why we took matters into our own hands. Portland workers, or low-income households, or beautiful and diverse people of color, or frontline communities in the fight against climate change are the leaders now and always have been. This is the new political alignment. Follow us. And together, we all win for a better world and for a better city. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jay Singh. I'm a field organizer at APANO, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. I'm speaking here today to urge the city to, of course, vote to make this groundbreaking initiative into city code, but also to defend this initiative and do everything in your power to make sure it is strong, effective, and able to be a model for the nation about what it looks like to take climate action and create good jobs while addressing social inequity. Climate change is already harming the Asian and Pacific Islander communities that APANO works with. For example, in the Punjab region of India, where my family is from, most people are farmers. After years of prolonged drought, many farmers are committing suicide because of their inability to provide for their families. Others are forced to migrate to other cities in India and also outside the country. If our country and the rest of the world don't take action, we're looking at massive migration at an unprecedented scale. At the same time, we need to make sure that immigrants and people of color who are here have access to good-paying jobs in the green economy so that they have the resources they need to be resilient to the impacts of climate change. At APANO, our members have repeated loud and clear that as Portland's cost of living goes higher and higher, they need living wage jobs to be able to stay here and keep their kids in school here. They are excited for the opportunity to be trained as solar installers, to start companies and home energy retrofits. APANO was proud to knock on thousands of doors to talk about Portland Clean Energy Initiative because we know what it means. More solar power for homes, schools, businesses, job training for low-income workers to transition to good-paying jobs, and energy efficiency projects and reduce utility bills for our communities. As you listen and watch me today, and as I sit here before you today, I want you to see thousands of Asian and Pacific Islander families who are depending on you all to make sure that this groundbreaking initiative succeeds. We urge you to vote the Portland Clean Energy Initiative into city ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, both of you.
Mayor.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Excuse me. Just for the record, that's okay. I just wanted to say that there is absolutely no intent to weaken the voters' will. So I just want that to be on the public record. Anybody else who's worried about that, you don't have to worry about it because there's no way we're going to let it get weakened. If anything, we are looking to make it stronger.
Next three, please, Carla.
Next three are Anissa Pemberton, Deneen O'Rourke, and we'll go with Dr. Andy Harris. And then the last two will be Nikki Dobe and Bob Solinger.
Very good. Good afternoon. Would you like to start, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Anissa Pemberton, and I'm the Just-Based Transition and Equity Organizer at 350 PDX. It is an honor to speak with you all today about the Portland Clean Energy Fund, especially knowing that the collaboration with frontline communities has been so meaningful so far. I grew up in rural Illinois as a Latinx person in a community impacted by industrial agriculture, and I have felt firsthand the toxic effects of greenhouse gas emissions on public health, environmental degradation, and how these impact people of color and low-income communities before they become obvious to more privileged folks. I moved to Portland because of the opportunities to create significant progressive change that will emanate to a national stage. It was so incredible to join the campaign as a field organizer to pass the Portland Clean Energy Initiative, in which communities of color took the lead in advancing an environmental initiative to victory for the first time in Oregon. Our field team organizers and volunteers worked tirelessly to build momentum and knowledge in our community, but it was not hard to advocate for this bill. In November 2018, I walked into the campaign party after being on the phones until 8 p.m. to hear that we won by a landslide. And 65% of this city wants large retailers to pay their fair share to build climate resilience for frontline communities. I continue to live in a low-income community of people of color, and frontline communities and our allies know that you will defend this initiative against deniers of a just transition to a green economy, deniers of empowering historically marginalized communities, and deniers of corporate accountability. They will be eager to undermine this initiative. We are standing in solidarity with one another today to let it be known that we expect you to stand up to these forces. We look forward to implementing this brand new initiative, and that by collaborating, we know we can ensure a grant program that builds skills and resources for workers and organizations so that they can use this fund to grow a local green economy. As a representative of 350 PDX, I hear regularly from progressive cities and justice advocates that they are looking to Portland to successfully implement this initiative. It's time to address the climate crisis, and it's time to center communities of color and low-income folks so that they can receive needed mitigation and resilience to climate change. Maybe someday there will be an Illinois Clean Energy Fund that can support the community in which I grew up in. Ultimately, that long view of climate justice should be ever-present in this implementation. Thank you so much for your continued advocacy and collaboration with frontline communities.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Deneen O'Rourke, and I'm here with the Oregon chapter of the Sierra Club. I am 23 years old, and in my senior year of high school, Superstorm Sandy hit my community on eastern Long Island, and that forever changed my neighborhood, my dad's job as a lineman for the local utility, and my own perception of my future and the future of my home. Fighting for climate justice, as we've heard from people before me this afternoon, is personal, as is the implementation of this measure. On the field team for this campaign, we talked to thousands upon thousands of members of our communities to pass this measure. And as many in this room can attest, the moment voters heard our first sentence at the door and understood what this measure was about, our work was mostly done. They were convinced. Then on election night, this campaign rose out of the ashes of a lost of the lost environmental ballot initiatives across the country, like those in Arizona, Washington, and Colorado. Why? Portland succeeded because we followed the visionary leadership of those who are most impacted by climate change, who know what solutions their communities need. And now, as news outlets buzz in every direction about the Federal Green New Deal House resolution, our own city has also captured the attention of the nation, passing a city version of the Green New Deal. Transforming our economy, providing living wage jobs to those who need them the most, and tackling the climate crisis, this is what it looks like to be on the cutting edge of a major, unprecedented transition. I, too, regularly hear from Sierra Club chapters across the country who are eager for updates on this measure's implementation and also advice on how they can create a similar measure in their communities. And as we embark on this historic moment of signing this law into implementation, let us not forget that the spotlight is truly on us. So thank you to the mayor and to the commissioners for their collaboration, for following the leadership of the frontline communities who led the Portland Clean Energy Fund from the idea to the implementation. It's truly an honor to be here to see the dedicated work of this frontline grassroots campaign become written into law. Let us not dismiss the enormity of this victory and the power of grassroots organizing in making it happen. We'll be here every step of the way to support a strong implementation. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Mayor Wheeler,
commissioners. I'm Dr. Andy Harris. I'm on the board of Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. You're now hearing from all ages, from 23 to 76. I am somebody that has benefited by white male privilege over the years, and I'm absolutely thrilled that this measure passed, started by Joanne Hardesty, with a strong support from the communities of color. For the first time in Oregon's history, communities of color really took the lead on this measure. It advanced environmental initiatives and will benefit both the environment and those who are living in low-income communities. Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility was pleased to be part of the grassroots coalition of support that helped pass the Clean Energy Fund to that record 65% vote. We're also pleased that Portland will take leadership in climate disruption through the weatherization of homes, solar panel installation, decreasing energy costs to low-income folks. And we're particularly pleased that the measure seeks to give training and employment to those that have been economically marginalized. The number of people in poverty in Portland has increased dramatically over the last 2 to 3 decades, the Portland Clean Energy Fund addresses the economic disparities at a local level. It provides for increased skills for contractors, workers, organizations, and others who will utilize this fund. So once again, we do expect you to defend this initiative, and I appreciated Joanne's reassurance that you will defend it from those we know that will seek to weaken it. Ensuring that communities of color and low-income folks are prioritized in receiving the benefits. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Appreciate it.
And the last two are Nikki Dobe and Bob Solinger.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. My name is Nikki Dobe. I am senior tax counsel with the Council on State Taxation. We are a nonprofit trade association that represents, our members are large multinational corporations. And our mission is to promote fair and efficient state and local taxation for multi-jurisdictional taxpayers. As background, I am a state and local tax attorney. I am a resident of Portland as well, and I've been working in this area for over 12 years. I'm going to change the conversation a little bit because I'm going to get really technical into the tax issues that are included in this ordinance. We are opposed, COST is opposed to two specific deletions within the proposed changes by the Revenue Division, specifically to the deletion of references to U.S. and national sales as it pertains to the $1 billion threshold, and then also to the deletion of the prior year for purposes of determining who is subject to this tax. We understand the challenges with administering this tax that the Revenue Division is facing. This is a completely new tax type. And at the end of the day, this tax is much more akin to a sales tax than an income tax or a surcharge on an income tax. So we understand there are significant challenges with trying to administer the tax in the way that the Revenue Division would like to do that, which is by making it part of the business license tax form and linking it to the apportionment information that is included on that form. We see the changes that the city is proposing as an attempt to really put a square peg into a round hole. And this really does not have anything to do with opposing this measure. It's just how to administer it in a way that our members can actually comply, which they do want to do. The changes could significantly broaden the taxpayers that are subject to this tax and the base that is included. So we see this as a significant expansion of the tax that was passed by the voters, which we do not believe that the City Council has the authority to approve without voter approval. In the case City of Portland versus HomeAway, which was decided in 2017 here in the U.S. District Court, the council attempted to approve by
vote within the council of an expansion of a definition, which was found to be invalid. By removing these terms, this is a significant expansion of the tax. So we would very much encourage you to reconsider those deletions from the ballot measure that was approved by the voters. And happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and members of City Council. My name is Bob Salinger, and I'm here testifying on behalf of Audubon Society of Portland today. It was an incredible honor to work with so many amazing groups on this ballot measure. It truly is historic. I've worked on many campaigns over the last 20-odd years. I've never seen one like this in terms of its depth, its breadth, its inclusivity, its leadership, its diversity, its dedication to getting to the places in the city that are often just ignored in campaigns, particularly to get to those places, to go to those places first and make sure that voices that are so often are left out of convenience or out of worse motivation were put in the front. The city's done a lot of historic things for the environment over the years. We've been a leader. But this one is different, and we're not only raising up the environment, we're raising up the community with the environment, and those two things have to go hand in hand if we're going to have a sustainable future.